From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 106. It's so hard to say goodbye for now.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
And by Pants. As summertime approaches, don't forget about pants. Pants. Not everyone looks good in shorts. And nobody looks good in capris. On the web at pantscouncil.org.
Have you left a review for Deemable Tech on iTunes or Stitcher? Well, if you haven't, it's too late now. Thanks a lot. Actually, you still can. Just go to iTunes or Stitcher and search for Deemable Tech and leave your farewells.
And now, without even discussing what we've hinted at throughout this opening, let's take a look at this week's rundown.
All right, and our first story we found out about from our friend Brian Lane, 723, on our Reddit page, deemable.com/Reddit. It's a story about Google.
All right, we like Google.
Yeah, if you're one of those people that love doing science projects as a kid, Google recently released an app that I think you'll probably love. It's called Science Journal. that was a nice double.
In stereo.
Yeah,
stereo.
We need to harmonize next time.
The app is called Science Journal, and it uses the sensors in your phone to measure and record data in real time, like using the accelerometer in your phone to track movement, or like the camera to track light, or a microphone to track sound.
Okay.
As Doodle says on their Science Journal website, quote, "See something you want to measure? How much light is in your room compared to outside? How loud is the dog's bark compared to my cough? Record your observations in real time at the press of a button. Explore your environment or measure things you've built yourself."
Oh, nice.
So it's all about doing science experiments, basically.
Okay.
Among other features, Science Journal lets you record measurements as charts and graphs in real time. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and record a voice memo as you're doing the experiment so you can give extra details about it as you're doing it. Google has also partnered with the Exploratorium Science Museum in San Francisco to sell special little kits that come with like materials like extra sensors that your phone doesn't have to let you do more stuff with Science Journal. Science Journal is currently only available for Android.
Of course.
Yeah, take that, iPhones.
So, Tom, you have an Android phone.
I do.
Does this sound like something that you'd want to do?
Yeah, potentially. If I wanted to measure light and dark things.
I love this because I remember the thing that I hated most, the only thing I really hated about doing a science experiment or for the science fair or whatever, was doing the charts and graphs.
Yeah, doing the data.
So
yeah.
I really love the idea that actually you just record it all with your phone and then boom, there's your graph.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I love that.
Honestly, as an apartment dweller, I think the part of this that intrigues me the most is the ability to measure sound loudness easily. You get to be like, how loud is that dog's bark really? I mean, come on. Is it as loud as it feels like it is?
That is actually really cool. Well, I mean, I have a decibel reader on my phone, on my iPhone, but it does not chart and graph it.
That's true.
That's kind of cool. I think that there's a lot of apps that will measure things, but I don't think that any of them think about it as something for science. Like, so you can record and keep track of it over a long period. Like the app that I have that's the sound meter, it's for sound guys who are running sounds at live events. So you can see, oh, okay, this is too loud. We got to bring it down. We're going over our noise violation, you know, but this is really cool that you'd actually be able to track it. I like that. I hope they expand that to iPhone. They probably won't. Because it's so hardware driven that.
Yeah.
Well, then again, too, Android is so across the spectrum with hardware.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Google brings it to iPhone.
I'm a longtime MythBusters fan, and the MythBusters have a quote goes something like this: "The difference between screwing around in science is writing it down."
yep. That made me think about, of course, how much they loved explosions on that show, and they. I bet you know with the accelerometer, you could even like keep track of earthquakes.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, and you can do you know, it lets you do multiple trials of things, it keeps that in there. Like I said, if you're one of those kids that just love doing science experiments, or you have a kid that loves doing science experiments, it seems like a lot of fun.
It's really funny. I love the way that it points out that not only do we have little computers in our pockets, but we also have a ton of sensors in our pocket.
Oh, we do.
You know, something that my wife just found out about, I searched for a coffee shop here in town, and on Google it popped up and showed the frequency of people that are at this coffee shop. And, you know, between these hours, it's really it's really crowded. And she's like, oh, my, how did they figure that out? I'm like, people have GPSs in their pockets. They're sharing the data with Google.
Yeah.
But it just showed you in a Google search?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just typed That's in the name of the shop, and it showed, you know, the hours that they were open and the hours that they were the busiest.
Yeah. That's crazy.
On a bar chart. And it was like, you know, everybody's got an iPhone or an Android device in their pocket. They've all given Google permission to use their data.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using that data. It's kind of cool. I've seen it at Target, like big stores, too. They'll show you how busy they are. And it's funny, this coffee shop, it said, never really crowded. Even at their busiest. I'm like, never really crowded.
Poor coffee shop.
Yeah, poor unnamed coffee shop that we won't pick on.
This sort of reminds me a little bit of, what was it that Apple came out with?
Well, HealthKit.
HealthKit.
A lot of information is being gathered with HealthKit same way.
Where you can use the sensors in your iPhone to do similar things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of science, here's another story from Brian Lane 723. So
wait, now, is it the same Brian Lane?
This is the same Brian Lane, not the other Brian Lane.
Well, there's apparently at least 723.
Yeah, exactly.
Either that or 723 is important to Brian Lane, and that's why he chose it. Maybe.
Or he's a clone.
It could be.
I feel like there's a clone army of Brian Lanes out there.
He actually invented... he is a physicist.
He is,
Dr. Brian Lane is a physicist.
Him. Yeah.
And I believe that he actually invented time travel, and this is the 723rd iteration of Brian Lane, who's come back in time to tell us about this story.
Just to ask us questions,
just to tell us about cool stories. All right, so you guys have heard for years that we're going to get quantum computers that can do amazing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's been talked about forever. Well, that time is now.
Whoa.
IBM has a working quantum computer that anyone in the world can play with.
Really?
Now, what does that mean? I'm so glad you asked.
Yes.
Well, basically, as anyone who's watched any movie from the 90s that involved computers can tell you, computers work by translating ones and zeros into machine-understandable language and then translating that into human language and user interfaces, right? So quantum computers use ones, zeros, and both at the same time. So you have three different things to work with.
Okay.
Now, the question is what to do with that. So, because we've built an entire industry out of a binary system, the ones and zeros, and now we have the capability to expand that to a trinary or ternary system. The question is how to use it. Like, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
So IBM has opened it up to the public for research and experimentation because basically the only people who understand what I just said are scientists.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Because,
I mean,
it's so cool.
Tom and I are just sitting here.
Tom's like got a little bit vague understanding.
I mean, I've tried to like read up on quantum computing before because I'm like, I have a degree in, I literally have a degree in computer science.
You should know what this means.
So I should know what it means. And it's beyond me.
No.
It's totally beyond me. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's really, really complex, and I was looking at the videos, and I even looked at IBM's page, and I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It basically was like if they opened up the Hadron Collider for me to experiment with, I'd be like, sweet. I don't
what am I
know
gonna do with
what
that?
To do with that.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing, but I'm really excited about it. Google apparently did something similar back in 2014, but they opened up, it was an emulator. It was like, this is how it would work if we had a quantum computer.
Hmm.
Now IBM is like, we have one. Here it is. Use it.
Why don't they pair that up with Watson? Somehow.
They probably would, but Watson can't work on it because Watson's built on a binary system. That's the thing. Everything's built for binary.
It's true. It is true.
So it's like we have on, off, and on and off.
Yeah. My one understanding of
what do you do with that extra thing?
They apparently can solve, theoretically, really specific classes of problems really well.
Yeah.
For instance, I don't really understand why this is so, but supposedly they could find prime numbers really easily.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But
can they tell me when a certain coffee shop is busiest throughout the day? That's all I care about.
I'm pretty sure they can.
They can do that?
They will be able
I'm
to.
I'm sold.
they'll be able to tell you before you even want to know it.
Oh, all right. Yeah. All right.
Well, bringing things back to Earth a little bit, this last week, Google had one of their big annual conferences, Google I.O., and they had some announcements. One area where Google has long lagged behind competitors like Apple and Facebook has really been in messaging, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because rather than having a single unified messaging app, Google has introduced numerous messaging systems. We've had, you know, GChat, Google Hangouts, the default Android text messaging app. YouTube now has its own chat thing.
What?
Yes.
When did that happen?
I don't know why.
Come on, Google.
It's just, it's crazy. Google, but so this week at Google I.O., Google took steps to solve this problem by introducing two more messaging apps.
Okay.
Yeah. So Google introduced, or announced, I should say, two messaging apps called Allo and Duo. That's A-L-L-O and D-U-O.
Yeah.
Allo is for text messaging. And it actually, its special feature is that it includes a Google bot technology, which will offer up auto responses to messages that you are sent based on things that you usually type. So if your wife texts you and says, "When are you coming home?" And you usually just type "soon," it'll be like "soon," and you can just tap it.
Okay.
Duo, meanwhile, is a one-on-one video chat app. And I guess the one thing that's kind of cool about it that sets it apart a little bit is that it's actually been optimized to work even in low bandwidth situations. So it degrades gracefully, even if you are having poor signal problems or the person...
Unlike FaceTime, which just completely cuts out whenever it doesn't have perfect high-speed internet.
Yeah, I actually have a fair amount of experience with trying to get video chat to work in crappy internet conditions. And yes, if this works well, it would be awesome. So both apps, both apps support end-to-end encryption. However, controversially, Google has said this encryption will not be enabled by default.
Oh, okay.
And the reason being appears to be because this would impede the ability to like mine your responses for the auto responding bot.
That makes sense.
But some people have been really up in arms about this because, for instance, Facebook's WhatsApp is now end-to-end encrypted completely. When you use WhatsApp, everything is totally encrypted.
Okay.
With high-level encryption. And that's kind of the new standard in chat apps.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense, though, just kind of like Gmail, where it scans your email to put ads that are relevant to you. With the Googlebot, I really do like that. My iPhone, it was kind of a promise that never came to fruition. The auto text would pop up with things, and like 1 out of 20 times it actually is relevant. And I'm like, oh, so much so that I don't even look at it. But I like the idea of it being there to actually work, if it works. The one thing I did hear about Duo, I don't know if you guys heard about this, there's a knock-knock feature. So
I heard something about this, but I didn't really understand it.
So like on FaceTime, if I FaceTimed you, if you had an iPhone.
And I don't.
You don't.
I never will.
Okay, fine. If I FaceTime Sean.
Yes.
On my screen, it will show me
and
a picture of Sean if I have a picture of him saved, okay?
Right.
Sean gets a picture. Actually, he sees himself when he answers the phone, I guess to check his teeth. I don't know. And then it will switch and we'll see each other.
Yeah, okay? Skype does that. They all pretty much do that.
So Duo works the other way around. If I call you, because assumingly it'll be cross-platform, you will see me until you connect. So you'll see me there, and you'll make a decision, oh, it's Ray. No. End.
Now, That's great for me as the receiving person.
Right.
Awkward for you as the sending person.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're kind of looking into the camera like, he can see me right now.
Yeah.
But if you look at sci-fi, a lot of examples on sci-fi are like that.
Yeah. Like the Sci-Fi Channel?
No, like on science fiction shows.
Oh, yeah. I know, I'm messing with you.
On the Sci-Fi Channel, yes. But yeah, they were like that. You'd call somebody and they'd see you.
Yeah.
And it was when you answered when you could see them. Mm-hmm. Or other way around, when they could see you.
I'm glad it doesn't work both ways because, Ray, you have accidentally called me on FaceTime while I was using the bathroom.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't an accident, my friend.
I'm just glad that you could not see me staring at my phone going, why is Ray trying to FaceTime
me? Now, I've heard a few pundits kind of knock this and say, well, talk about your unsolicited dick pics. You're like,
yeah,
Man, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, one example, I was talking to somebody and they said, well, it's kind of nice because you can tell, oh, well, that person's not, I don't want to talk to them right now because they look like they're in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
Or they look like they're angry. Or they look like they're drunk and they're like, not dealing with that right now.
Or on the on the flip side, they look like they're really upset. Maybe I should talk to them right now.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I think it's interesting. Like, it gives you a new perspective that, that FaceTime and Skype does not.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the unsolicited.
So here's my question. I'm actually on board with this feature. The more you tell me about it, the more I'm like, okay, I get it. Why can't this be part of Hangouts? Why do they need a new app?
Why
does
it need to be a new app? Like, I mean,
why?
Did they not already have enough that they didn't
have a video chat app?
They talked about
what the heck, guys.
Well, didn't they say something about having it being streamlined? So this is all it does. So it, you know, it kind of cuts out all of that extra.
Yes, but
stuff.
Just streamline Hangouts, make Hangouts better.
Yeah, they could have done that. I mean, well, that is the thing. Hangouts is so complicated because there's two completely different versions of Hangouts.
Yeah.
There's the one that's on the phone, and then there's another one that you use for, like, video chats with a
bigger... It's not a great system. It's not.
No.
And it needs to be improved. And so it's frustrating to see but it was supposed to be the unified Google Chat.
Right.
So it's kind of frustrating as an Android and Google person who's really plugged into that ecosystem.
Evangelist. You can just say
evangelist,
it.
Sure. Yeah. To see them be like, oh, instead of solving the problems we have with this centralized app, we are creating yet more random
apps. Well, and
maybe
what they'll do is they'll say, okay, Allo and Duo are it, and the other ones are going to the wayside.
If they really genuinely did that, sure, I would be on board. But at this
also,
point,
why
like,
two separate ones? I mean, that's
odd, yeah.
That's unnecessary. That seems ridiculous. But, I mean... Well, no, Facebook does now. Their messaging app has it all in one. You can do video and audio and text on the messaging app. But, yeah, we threw a hissy fit when Facebook split off their messaging app. I say we, I mean me. But
but it works well.
But let's talk about the elephant in the room. Is it named after a plant, aloe, or is it just simply cultural appropriation and we're saying it the British way? Hello. I mean, I think it's supposed to be British cultural appropriation, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's not named after a plant that you use to heal wounds.
But what about Duo?
Wounds. Duo's just Duo.
Just Duo?
Just Duo.
Just Duo.
I guess you're never going to have group chat in Duo.
Apparently
either.
Not.
It's one-on-one?
You're like, no.
Never.
Duo. Not Hello. Trio. Not Quattro. Duo.
Maybe they're just big fans.
Well, maybe
of,
there will be a Trio. That'll be a separate app. If you want three people, you got to go to Trio. If you want four people, you got to open Quattro.
It's going to be like razor blades. They're just going to keep adding more and more until it's ridiculous.
Yeah, sponsored by Schtick.
Yeah, for an uncomfortably close shave.
All right. And, well, you know, we couldn't have the last episode of Deemable Tech without at least one Apple rumor. Forbes is reporting that the iPhone 8 could lose the unibody aluminum case for an all-glass one.
Ooh.
Now, no, I did not read that incorrectly. The next iPhone is presumptively going to be coined the iPhone 7, because the last one that I have is the iPhone 6S.
Mm-hmm.
But this rumor is actually about the iPhone 8, so skipping a generation or two.
Hmm.
The glass case is expected to wrap all the way around the entire device and have no bezel as a result. The entire front of the phone will be screen, according to Daring Fireball.
Hmm.
The front-facing camera, touch ID sensor, speaker, and proximity sensor will all somehow be behind the screen.
Interesting.
Now, there are some patents that kind of allude to this, like a touch ID that would actually be under a screen and how that would work. Obviously, the speaker, you could move it to, like, the top of the phone, and it might work that way.
Yeah.
Because the microphone's at the bottom of the phone, so it seems like that works pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, I'm going to file this one under maybe, but probably not. I think that's the direction that they might be going in, but I just can't see it just yet.
I mean, you know, the Samsung now has the Galaxy Edge phones, which already have their... basically wraparound screens.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you could definitely see extending that concept even further.
That's true, but you still do have, you know, it still ends at one point, and yeah. you have like the button for your, you know, your home mm-hmm. button and stuff.
Right.
And,
but it makes sense. You like that this isn't like an interesting thing. So I have this new phone. It's mm-hmm. The Nexus 6P.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Google.
Yeah. Okay.
Try
you,
it out.
You sold himself. You sold it to yourself when Artist came by. And
I am on Project Fi now. Thank yeah. you, Artist. That's I blame you. Yeah. So I
go back and listen to a previous episode where we talked about it.
Yep. But I got the 6P, and you know it's got a fingerprint sensor, mm-hmm. which is on the back, because if you put a button on the front with a fingerprint sensor, that would be an iPhone, and you get sued.
Right.
Right.
It's in yeah.
But by the you same token. You know, Apple's kind of locked themselves into always doing that. They always yeah. have a phone's rectangle with a button on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they're probably like, man, we'd like to get rid of this button.
Sure.
You know, it would make a lot of sense to if you could somehow be like, no, we're going to do it through the screen.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to sense the fingerprint through the screen. Like, that would make total sense to me. And if they could pull that off, I am sure they would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was going way back to 07. I was hesitant about the whole virtual screen or virtual keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was stupid. You couldn't feel it. You wouldn't know where your buttons are, blah, blah, blah. I'm fine now.
Yeah.
I use mostly text-to-speech anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I love Google's new Gboard keyboard that I've been mm-hmm. using a ton of. Haha, you don't have that yet, Tom.
It's so weird. Why did they bring it to iOS?
We haven't talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that the swipe-to-type is amazing on that. It works better than all the other ones that I've used. And, you know, so I'm living without, you know, touch keyboard now, a real, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. tactile keyboard. I feel weird, though, about the home button because I'm like, well, if it's just like there, I mean, I guess I'll know where to put my thumb, right? I guess. Okay. I don't know.
I mean, you're so conditioned to it that
yeah.
you'll probably pick it up and be like,
I'm getting older, right though. Place. You know, I'm over 35, and now I am
yeah.
at the age where things need to stop changing. That's just, guys, everything we have
Lock
now is good enough. We don't really need faster computers.
We don't need quantum computers.
We don't. Yeah, I'm getting to that age. I think it's I'm gonna be that guy saying, "Get off my lawn."
Yeah,
you know,
old man yells at cloud.
Yep. There you go.
At the cloud.
I see what you did there.
Hey, well, I got another Google story here for you.
All right.
Ooh.
If you own a Chromebook, Google has super exciting news for you.
Ooh.
But not like all of you. Maybe not even most of you.
No.
What I'm saying is don't break out the champagne just yet.
No.
Okay, maybe you should just go ahead and tell us the news. What are you talking about?
Right. Okay, so the Google Play Store is coming to Chromebooks.
What?
Along with, wait for it, every single Android app.
Holy
all of them.
Crap.
Wow.
Yes, full
wow.
compatibility. As Ars Technica puts it, everything from Microsoft Word to Hearthstone to Firefox will be able to run on Chrome OS without noticeable performance penalties.
Wow.
Bam. Now, that's pretty great stuff. Here's the asterisk. Google has released a compatibility list for this amazing new feature, and it basically excludes any Chromebook older than 2 years old.
Hmm.
Oh, come on.
This actually even includes Google's souped-up and overpriced Pixel Chromebook, which you may remember.
What?
Not on the compatibility list.
What?
Yeah, and unfortunately, we imagine this excludes a pretty large population of people who own Chromebooks, because you bought them a couple years ago and they're a little bit older. Yeah, they're not getting these. It certainly excludes our own Chromebooks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So no apps for us.
Okay, so I had heard about this. I didn't know this was what you were talking about, and I did not know. Dang it. I was really excited about that because, I mean, my daughter loves Minecraft, and mm-hmm. she uses our Chromebook almost primarily to get on the internet, and I was like, oh, that's perfect. She's got an Android device now.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Not unless you get a new Chromebook.
What is the difference? They haven't really improved in specs since then.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be a spec related thing. Like, there's not some specific hardware set they're targeting. It seems to be just age. Like, it's literally just like they're cutting it off at a certain age range. It's weird.
That is so annoying. That's like an Apple move right there. That's like some
really
crap
is.
That Apple would pull. They're
it
like,
really
oh, is. Sorry, you can't have Siri because microphones. I don't know, because we don't want you to have it. Whatever. Man, that annoys me. That makes me not want to go buy another Chromebook.
Mm.
I probably will, but it makes me not want to.
This is, apart from the sort of annoyance of it, this is interesting because this is, there's a rumored march towards convergence between Chrome OS and Android.
Well, I mean, if they're, yeah, it makes sense.
So this is a clear, step along that path to really making the two systems be the same.
Yeah. I remember they were talking for a while there that Chrome OS and Android would never converge. And everyone's like, that only makes sense for them too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because as cool as the idea of Chrome is, we're never going to really be in a browser-only world. You know, the apps are there for a reason. They serve a lot of function. I do like something we didn't talk about. Google I/O, they announced instant apps. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit.
So basically, if, say, for instance, you needed to buy a ticket at an event, but you didn't have the app, so you could go to the app store and just use that part of the app right then and there. Just download that part real quick and buy the ticket and boom, you're done. So you don't have to download the entire app right then. You can just download the part that you need. And it's available instantly.
I like this instant app thing called the web.
There is. Again, that's the whole thing, that a lot of features don't necessarily work with the web. You know, they don't work inside of a web browser. You know, you need that app feature. Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the app world makes a lot of sense because it's a different way of building it and it can work easier. So, well, it comes as no surprise to anyone who follows Demobile Tech that we have been having some difficulty getting the show out with any consistency since the beginning of the year.
That's right. We've only done one show since January, I think.
Oops. Sorry.
Yeah. And as some of you may know, I'm no longer working here at WJCT. I left the station back in December to pursue something a bit more lucrative than working in public media.
Well, what are you talking about? You make so much money in public media.
Everybody knows the big money is in public media. Yeah. But unfortunately, it does come at the cost of a lot of my free time. So I'm working second shift right now, and that pretty much kills all my evening time, which is when we usually recorded the show in the past.
So all that's to say that we've made the hard decision, you know, after months and months of not recording and just feeling sort of guilty about it, that right now we can't continue to promise you to record. So we're going to pull the plug on the podcast for the time being.
We came to the realization it's not sustainable. We can't keep producing the show, and it was unfair of us to leave you guys in the dark. So we are going to turn out the lights on the Demobile Tech podcast for at least for now. We may relaunch the show down the road if we're able to. You know, if our circumstances change, we'll see. But I do want to say to our fans who I don't know why you like us. I'm not going to get teary here, okay? but no, I mean, thank you guys so much for your support over these 4 years now.
Been going for
a
while.
Been? Yeah. We started it in 2012.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a long, weird, winding road. We had our radio special show in between. We kind of changed formats a couple of times.
Went to OneSpark.
Yeah, we did OneSpark and met so many of you awesome people.
That was very nice.
We never came up with a name for the Demobile Tech fans. We tossed around a lot of names, and maybe that's why we never became something.
Probably,
that's the problem.
That's the problem. That was it. Yeah,
that's what it was.
I blame it all on
that. If you can come up with a name, we'll keep going.
don't say that, because it will come up.
Not really. Yeah.
No, I mean, unfortunately, we have to. Situations have to change.
It's just all three of us really are in circumstances right now where our schedules are crazy and
I have two
crazy.
More children than when I started this show.
We've all gone through life changes within the past 6 months to a year. So
All that to say, I know most of you have probably already unsubscribed from the show as soon as you saw the episode title, but if you are interested in finding out when we or if we relaunch the show, sign up for our newsletter. If you go to our website, demobile.com, there's a form on the right-hand side. Fill it out and sign up for specifically the podcast newsletter. There's two of them. There's the Ask Demobile Tech show, which is the other show that we do. And there's the podcast. Sign up for that. If we relaunch the show, we will notify our fans via the newsletter first. So we're going to tell you about it on the newsletter before we do anything. And then you can resubscribe to the show later. And I promise you, we won't blast you with spam in the meantime.
And if we do...
Unless we get a really good deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
If we do restart the show, we're going to do a lot of viral marketing.
Yep. Yep. Like,
you know, just like an enigmatic like picture of like us in silhouette that says like coming soon or something like that.
We might do that anyways.
Yeah, that might be fun.
Because we might be able... No.
But we definitely, you know, we're... We won't relaunch the show unless you guys post about this on Facebook and it gets a million likes. So
yeah,
that's absolute. No, I'm kidding. Don't. Yeah. No.
Well, no. What will happen is here's the deal. If our situation, if especially mine, because I'm kind of the anchor that's holding us back right now, is my schedule is so messed up that I've not been able to come in and do this. If my situation changes, or if, you know, somehow we find the ability to, then we'll look at it. And if it's something you guys want, I mean, if it's something you the fans really want, we'll see what we can do. Until then, you know, we're going to keep doing our other show, Ask Dunable Tech. You know, and that show is, it's kind of the sister show. If you've never heard it, it's on 89.9 WJCT. You can also hear it on our website at dunable.com if you've never even heard of it. On that show, we answer tech questions. So if you haven't subscribed to that show, I guess go ahead and do that now. You could, you know, check out that show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Keep hearing Ray and Tom every week.
Yeah, Sean is very quiet on that show.
I am, yeah.
He doesn't say anything at all.
Sit back and...
he just does all the work.
This is me on that show.
That's exactly, that's exactly right.
Well, that's a good impression.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it has been awesome. This is kind of a bucket list thing for me. Tom, when you started, you were like, I don't know, maybe I could do that. It's never something that never totally crossed your mind.
No, it really hadn't.
But yeah, it's always been it was always a dream of mine to host a podcast or host a radio show, and I got that opportunity.
Sure.
And maybe this isn't the end of it. Maybe we'll come back. We'll see.
Can't happen. Yeah.
And Sean, I know it was your dream to work in radio.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I feel in a small way I helped make that happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Even that us, Sean would definitely.
If you didn't know, actually, Sean.
I was Sean working was here first.
Yeah. You worked here before I started volunteering at WJCT.
But it's true. I credit and also blame you for everything that.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
No.
And I'm responsible for it all.
No. Yes. Radio just in general, you're responsible. Just,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But so. Yeah, it has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And like Ray was saying, we may bring this back if we're able to, but we just don't want to. We don't want to give you a bad product every week. We want to make sure
it's non-existent.
Or once every few months. Yeah.
We want to make sure it's good.
So with that, we shall say adieu.
Au revoir.
Until next time, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
And if you, like I said, if you want to say goodbye or if you have a question for Ask Dunable Tech, give us a call, 1-888-972-9868, or you can send us an email to questions@dunable.com. I am Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Dunable Tech.
Bye-bye.
I liked when you went, ugh, me too.
Yeah.
Like, bring it down from mine.
Okay.
Because I'm going to go, rah!
Yeah, you are. You're intense, man. You go to a dark place.
I'm just going to Hulk out.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.